So I understand that you completed the series on Sharanagati last week. Yes? And so I was told I can speak about anything I want to speak about. I decided I'd speak about Krishna. And I thought a nice thing to speak about Krishna was Krishna's taking shelter of his spiritual master, Sandipani Muni. Krishna in Vrindavan. And then Krishna out of Vrindavan, Krishna goes to Mathura, and then he goes to school and takes shelter of Sandipani Muni. There's another reason why I selected this. I've been speaking consecutively on first canto, second canto, and now well into the third canto, but I found out there's some verses missing that didn't get recorded. So, canto 3, chapter 3, verse number 2, is Uddhava speaking to Vidura about Krishna. So, for those of you that are new, maybe I'll say something about who is Uddhava, and who is Vidura, and who is Krishna. Both Uddhava and Vidura, very elevated, very intimate devotees. Uddhava's most intimate. Uddhava was so close to Krishna, even looked like Krishna. When Uddhava was sent by Krishna from Mathura, that Mathura was the capital for the kingdom, and Vrindavan, where Krishna spent his childhood, that was a village, and the livelihood was cow protection and agriculture, mainly cow protection. And Krishna's, we could say, foster father, Nanda Maharaj, he was the king of the cowherds. But Vasudeva and Devaki, who were, how do you say Krishna had parents? Because God is he's the father of all. Aham bija patak pita. Krishna is the father of all living entities. God is the father of all living entities. Or say it the other way. All living entities are but parts and parcels of the original supreme living entity. Like sparks from a fire are but parts of the fire. So how can you say the spark gave birth to the fire from which it came? It's not literal in a worldly sense, but it's transcendental in a sense of loving exchange. Because God is complete. Everything that exists comes from Him and therefore is within Him. So all expressions of love exist within Him. So in this world we find there's parents and there's children. And parents derive some happiness from taking care of their children. And the children derive some happiness being cared for by their parents. So in Vrindavan there's such intimacy of love that the devotees forget, or their love is so strong it covers the sense that Krishna is God. Their love is so strong they take care of Krishna like their child. He's their dependent. Mother Jasoda is thinking, if I don't feed Krishna, he'll starve. And any mother doesn't want to see their child starve. What to speak of Mother Jasoda, who has such love for Krishna. anyway. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Before coming to Chicago this past week, I was in St. Louis and there was a program at a college. So at the end, we had everybody chant Japa together, which was really nice. They didn't want to stop. I did them half a round. They wanted to keep going. This is really nice. And then at the end, somebody said, by the way, what does the mantra mean? It feels really nice, but what does it mean? So Krishna is a name of God. There's God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, you know, from a Western perspective. So he's God the Father. He's Krishna. He's all attractive. That's the meaning. All attractive. So of those who are attracted to the all attractive, Uddhava, outside of Vrindavan, was the most intimate with Krishna. And meaning, he understood Krishna, Krishna understood him. Krishna turned to Uddhava for advice. What should I do now, Uddhava? And whatever Uddhava would say, Krishna would do, because it was good advice. But it was just rasa. It was a loving, mellow exchange. That's how intimate was Uddhava. Uddhava knew that Krishna was the personality of Godhead. In this section that we're reading from, Vidura, from the third canto of the earlier chapters, Vidura is of age like Krishna's uncle. And because Uddhava is of the same age, about the same age as Krishna, here comes Uncle Akura. And Uncle Akura has been on a pilgrimage for purification for 34 years. That's a long time to go on pilgrimage, in case you didn't think about it. He was squeaky clean by the time he got to see Uddhava. He was already vastly learned, and now pure, pure, pure. And he meets Uddhava. And when he sees Uddhava, he thinks of Krishna. How is Krishna? And Balaram? And Krishna's mother and father, Vasudeva and Devaki, and King Ugrasena, and the queens of Krishna, naming them by names, and the associates of Krishna, sons of Krishna, and all the residents of Dwarka. Oh, Uddhava, please talk about Krishna. So he talks about Krishna for three chapters. Vidura pushed his Krishna button. And the first thing that happened was Uddhava went into a state of trance. He was thinking of Krishna with such intensity of love. Such intensity of love that he lost external consciousness. The verse says, he went to Krishna. He was in Krishna consciousness complete. Although his body was on this plane, his consciousness was with Krishna. But he's younger. Vidura is elder. Vidura is asking about Krishna. He wants to serve his elder. So he struggles to come back to external consciousness and start speaking about Krishna. The scene is that Krishna has just left. He finished his pastimes. He told Uddhava, this is it. Goodbye. I'm leaving this realm. My pastimes have closed. It's like the sun sets and waves goodbye. And the darkness of night comes in and it's over. The pastimes of Krishna are compared like that by Uddhava. Krishna's appearing is like the rising of the sun, the midday sun, and the sunset. And now we're all in darkness. You and me and all the residents of this planet are in the darkness of absence of Krishna feeling, and there's nothing we can do. Time is inexorable. It can't be stopped. And here we are. Greatly unfortunate to be in the absence of Krishna. But he doesn't stop with that. He just keeps speaking about Krishna, speaking about Krishna, speaking about Krishna. And he speaks about Krishna in Vrindavan, in chapter 2. And then chapter 3, which is where I'm reading from, he starts speaking Krishna's leaving Vrindavan. Those of you that are not new, you know who is Rupa Goswami. And those of you that are new, his picture is on the right-hand altar, down below, along with six Goswamis. They were associates of Lord Chaitanya. There's Lord Chaitanya on our, facing us, our left altar. Lord Chaitanya had associates that were similarly absorbed, like Uddhava, in transcendental devotion for Krishna. And one of them was Rupa Goswami, and he was gifted in writing. So he wrote two dramas, Krishna in Vrindavan and Krishna out of Vrindavan. And when Krishna's out of Vrindavan, Krishna's feeling great love for the residents of Vrindavan. Just a little on the side. Uddhava, who is also with Krishna in Dwarka, he knows the love that Krishna feels for the residents of Vrindavan. So in this drama, Lalita Madhava, Uddhava suggests to Krishna, let's have a drama. We'll have a drama about you in Vrindavan while we're here in Dwarka, so you can feel connection to Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan right on stage. Krishna likes it very much, and he knows that Uddhava is expert. And so he arranges for someone to play the part of Krishna and the gopis. And Krishna's in the audience. And Krishna's seeing what's on the stage. And Krishna's love that has been in the mood of separation, he now sees Krishna and the gopis. And he gets up and starts running for the stage. And Uddhava holds on to him. No, it's just a drama. It's just a drama. You're Krishna. And you're feeling such love for the residents of Vrindavan that you've gone mad. You don't see the difference between the drama on the stage and the real Vrindavan. It's just a drama. And Krishna's running. That's one of the episodes in the drama of Rupa Goswami called Lalita Madhava. Uddhava knows the feelings, the inner feelings of Krishna. He knows how to awaken them. He knows how to pacify them. He feels those feelings of love that Krishna has for the residents of Vrindavan in the mood of the devotee of Krishna. Intimately he understands Krishna. I like that. So now he's describing, I'm going to read the verse. He's describing to Vidura, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
I could read the Sanskrit, but I'll just read the translation. This is Uddhava speaking about Krishna. The Lord learned all the Vedas. I'll read the prior verse. Text 1, chapter 3. Sri Uddhava said, Thereafter Lord Krishna went to Mathura city with Sri Baladeva. And to please their parents, they dragged Kamsa, the leader of the public enemies, down from his throne and killed him, pulling him along the ground with great strength. Kamsa was the terror not only of Vrindavan and Mathura, he was the terror of the universe. He was mean. He was a terrible asura. Everyone was terrified. He was the original terrorist. Everyone was terrified of him. So at the time, Krishna was 11 years... No. He was 10 years and 7 months old. Kamsa arranged for Krishna to come to Mathura, the capital city, so he could kill him. His plan was, first, a wild elephant would trample and, destroy Krishna. Krishna destroyed the wild elephant. And then his powerful wrestlers were to kill Krishna. There were 4 brothers. Powerful. Krishna and Balaram defeated them, and then their other brothers, they defeated them. And then Krishna looked up at the raised platform where Kamsa was sitting out of the corner of his eye. Kamsa was shaking like a leaf. And Krishna jumped up and grabbed Kamsa and pulled him down from his elevated seat and placed him on the wrestling mat, and with one, he finished Kamsa. And everyone was, is he knocked out or is he dead? So Krishna grabbed him by the hair and dragged him across the mat slowly so everyone could see he's not just knocked out, he's finished. And everyone was, yay, Kamsa's finished. Wicked Kamsa is dead. There's some songs like that. Maybe it appears one of these days in some rap music. Who knows? Okay. Then text 2. The Lord learned all the Vedas with their different branches simply by hearing them once from his teacher, Sandipani Muni, whom he rewarded by bringing back his dead son from the region of Yamaloka. So those of you that are new, I'll summarize the chapter that's just spoken of in one verse. Krishna had not seen his mother and father. Of course, again, Krishna is God. He's the mother and father of everyone. But he appeared as the son of Vasudev, his father, and Devaki. And Krishna appeared at midnight. Maybe some of you that are new here, you know what Janmashtami is. It's when Krishna appears sometime in September, October month. And by lunar calendar it differs. And Krishna appeared at midnight. And Krishna requested his father, Devaki has asked me to assume a small childlike form, because he was very large, bigger than them, with 4 arms. And decorated with ornaments and garland and crown and kastuba gem and the marks of the Supreme Lord, the weapons of Vishnu in his hands. He assumed a childlike form, but first requested Vasudeva to carry him at midnight, in the middle of a storm, across the river, without a boat, to the other side, so that he would be safe. Earlier, when Uddhava is speaking, he feels great pain that Krishna said that he left Mathura because he was afraid of Kamsa. Now he knows that Krishna's not afraid of Kamsa, but what makes him unhappy is some people think that Krishna was afraid of Kamsa. And they think he's a worldly person like us, and he was afraid of Kamsa like us. So Krishna hadn't seen Mother Yashoda, he hadn't seen Vasudeva and Devaki since the first night. Think of those of you that are parents. If you give birth to a child, the child is born at night, and you don't see the child for 11 years. And then the occasion comes when you can again see the child for the second time. And he's 11 years old. So Krishna and his brother Balaram went before Vasudeva and Devaki. They were in the prison house of Kamsa. They just walked right into the prison house after knocking out Kamsa. They went to the prison house and released the shackles that were binding Yashoda to Vasudeva and Devaki. And Krishna's looking at Vasudeva and Devaki in the affection of a child wanting to be embraced by their mother and father. But their mother and father, Vasudeva and Devaki, were looking at Krishna and considering, this isn't my child. This isn't our child. He's the personality of Godhead. He just killed Kamsa. And Kamsa was terrifying everybody. Just one, and he's finished. They had heard this in the prison house. So what did Krishna do? Krishna covered Vasudeva and Devaki with his yogamaya potency so they wouldn't see him as God, they would see him as their son. And Krishna ran and embraced his father and sat in his father's lap. His father started crying with great happiness to again be united with his son. And Krishna spoke some very wonderful words, appreciating the religious principle of a child who receives life from their mother and father. They're indebted more than, he says, 100 years worth of service. Because then in Dwarapa Yuga, people live for a longer period of time. How could I repay? But please accept my apology, because I was afraid of Kamsa. Afraid of Kamsa, nothing. But he was speaking like that to his father. And that made his father cry even more, that my poor son was feeling difficulty because of fear of Kamsa, and I was unable to protect him being in prison. His fatherly affection was churned. And Devaki, similarly, she embraced both of the children. Although Balaram was not born of Devaki, but Rohini, another one of the wives of Vasudeva, because in those times, very capable persons sometimes had more than one wife, and so they were sisters, and both became wives. And Balaram was the son of Rohini, but both Rohini and Devaki, they treated both sons like their own son. undifferentiated love. Then it's described that Krishna knew that the father of Devaki, or his maternal grandfather, Ugrasena, he had been put in prison by the wicked Kamsa. Just to give you an idea of how nasty was Kamsa, he didn't get his way, so he took his father and put his father in prison and sat on the throne. And he was ready to kill his sister. He was not a nice guy. He was a very bad person. So he went to entreat Ugrasena and requested Ugrasena, now that Kamsa is dead, you were actually the king before Kamsa usurped the throne, so please resume the throne. And Ugrasena said to Krishna, you should take the throne. You're the qualified person. And Krishna didn't even pay attention to his request. He continued speaking about Ugrasena's wonderful qualifications. Everyone is looking for your rulership. He said, besides, there's a curse of King Yayati that said any of the descendants of Yadu would not be able to take the throne of the king. So you take the throne of the king. Which wasn't even logical because Ugrasena was also in the Yadu dynasty. But Ugrasena just loved Krishna, so he did what Krishna encouraged him to do. And then here's Vasudeva and Devaki. They want very much that their son, who's now 10 years and 7 months, he hasn't even gone to school yet. He was out taking care of the cows since he was very small. Now there's verses from the scripture that describe the different ages and traditionally how those different ages are gauged. So hopefully I'll get it right. The early age from zero or first birth up until five. I'll read it so I don't get it wrong. It's Bal, the childhood age. Childhood is very nice, and Krishna's pastimes in childhood are similarly very nice. Kumara age lasts until 5. Puganda from 5 to 10. And Kaishora until 15. And after that is Yovana. So those are the four ages. Kumara, Puganda, Kaishora, and Yovana. So we have Kishore, Kishori. It's Krishna, at least according to what children normally go through, it's between 10 and 15. But our acharyas describe Krishna grew up fast. The earliest stage, the Kumara stage, lasted, instead of for 5 years, for 3 years and 4 months. And when Krishna was 3 years and 4 months old, that's when he was given the opportunity to begin herding the calves. You'll think of some child you know that's 3 years and 4 months. Are you going to give them the responsibility to herd calves in the forest? See you later. But there's verses in previous chapters where it said that Krishna hardly even went through the stage where he was crawling, because very quickly both he and Balaram sturdy and walking and then running. So that was his earliest age, Kumara. And then from that age, for another 3 years and 4 months or 6 years and 8 months, that was his Puganda age. And from that period of time, from 6 years, 8 months until 10 years, 7 months, he lived in Nandagram. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describing. So, 10 years, 7 months, Krishna received an invitation from Kamsa. Please come to Mathura, there's a big festival. I want to kill you. Whoops, he didn't say he wanted to kill him. But that was his intention. Explicit intention. And he told the messenger, that's what I want to do. And I'll do it double. You know, I send some demons ahead of time to go kill Krishna. If that fails, then you can bring Krishna. And the elephant will kill Krishna. But if that fails, the wrestlers will kill Krishna. And after all of that failed, Krishna killed Kamsa. So here's a small boy, not even 11 years old, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that marked, from the killing of Kamsa, marked the end of his Kishore age, and from that point forward, he was in the Yovana age. And Krishna never, he remained on the planet for over 100 years, 125 years, something like that, but he always looked like a 16-year-old. Because his body is spiritual. And not just, you know, spiritual bodies look like they're 16-year-olds. But his body, he appeared in a forearm form, then a baby form, and then a, you know, it wasn't, time was not moving him. Love was moving him. His love for his devotees. So he was able to reciprocate love with his devotees in whatever form he liked. When he married 16,000 queens, he manifested 16,000 forms. Identical in appearance, but doing different things at the same time. Can anybody here do that? Not only that, Narada Muni went to visit Krishna one time in Dwarka. And as he was going from different palace to different palace, he saw not only Krishna was doing different things simultaneously, as, you know, different things in different palaces simultaneously, but it was different times of the day simultaneously. Krishna can move time, he can move spirit, he can do whatever he likes. He's all powerful. Jiva Goswami, one of the six that's pictured over here, along with Rupa Goswami, he explains very simply, there's no question of understanding God without accepting that God has inconceivable potencies. Very simple. Do it the other way. If you say, oh, God can't do that, oh, God can't do that thing, he can't look like this, he can't do this, he can't, then, at least philosophically, you're limiting God, but God is unlimited. So if he's unlimited, then you can have, if you accept that he's unlimited, then you can begin to understand God. And if you don't, then there's not even a concept of God. Can't this, can't that, can't the other thing. Because I can't, so he can't. Limiting God by our own experience, our own limitations, projecting our limitations on one who is unlimited. And conversely, if you accept that God has unlimited potencies, that's the beginning of understanding God. So he can, as he so desires, do whatever he likes. And he does what he likes. And the main thing that he likes is reciprocating love with those who love him. And he's expert at it. And devotees that love him, they love him in various humors or mellows or rasas. And Krishna reciprocates. So one of those mellows is Vasudeva and Devaki, they love Krishna. Like parents love children, only ramp it up a million notches and it's love divine. As divine parents love divine Lord, as parents. Their son. So they wanted to see that he got an education. because they're kshatriyas. You haven't gone to school yet. So they first arranged for Krishna to have his second or Gayatri initiation, second birth, dvija. Gargamuni arranged for that. He gave Gayatri mantra to the source of Gayatri mantra. And then Krishna went to Nanda Maharaj. There's a very beautiful exchange explained by Rupa Goswami that's much more expanded from what it says in the Bhagavatam. Because Nanda Maharaj, when Krishna went to Mathura, Akura had taken him. But the Bhagavatam describes there was this big bow festival that Krishna was invited to, but it was around the same time that Nanda Maharaj was to pay his annual taxes. Because the way that it worked was the king was the land owner, landholder, and some persons were able to till the land or take charge of the land, and the person who owned the land received some percentage of what was the produce from the land. In their case, it was milk products from the cows. So every year, or regularly, Nanda Maharaj would bring to pay his taxes to give to the treasury of Kamsa. So Nanda Maharaj had also gone to Mathura. So here's Nanda Maharaj, and Krishna saying to Nanda Maharaj, you can go back now, because the residents of Vrindavan will be in big anxiety about where is our beloved Krishna, because they had such love for Krishna, they couldn't bear separation from him. Krishna knew that. So he told Nanda Maharaj, please go back and carry the following message. Very important. The message is, very soon, within 3 to 7 days, tell them, I'll come back. If not 3 to 7 days, a little longer. But soon I'll come back. Please reassure them. Carry that message for me, please. Because that message will sustain their lives. Without hearing that message, they may not be able to maintain their lives. Please carry that message. We find from Brihad Bhagavatamrita that that message, in fact, sustained the lives of the residents of Vrindavan. The hope that Krishna will return. Some of you have been to Vrindavan, and if you haven't been to Vrindavan, all blessings, may you one day go to Vrindavan. And when you go to Vrindavan, one of the places that you must go to, and surely you will go to, is Govardhan Hill. And when you go to Govardhan Hill, you'll want to do parikrama of Govardhan Hill. And at the far south end of Govardhan Hill is a small little temple of Lota Baba. Lota Baba is a deity of one of Krishna's cowherd boyfriends. When Krishna was going to go to Vrindavan, Lota Baba wanted to go with Krishna, his dear friend. And Krishna said, no, you stay here, take care of the cows. You know how much I love cows. You take care of the cows, and I'll come back very soon. He said, I want to go with you. No, you stay here and take care of the cows. I'll be back tomorrow, or the day after tomorrow. Just stay right here. Watch the road. This is the road I'm going to travel on. Watch the road, and I'll come back. I want to go with you. Within a few days, at most a few days. Just wait here. I promise you, I'll come back. So he waited, feeling pain of separation from Krishna. And he's looking down the road, waiting for Krishna to come. And he didn't come. And he waited for a few days, and Krishna didn't come. But he had faith in Krishna's words. He waited for a week, Krishna didn't come. He waited for a month, Krishna didn't come. He waited for a year. He's been waiting for 5,000 years. But the secret is that Krishna never left Vrindavan. Krishna, rather than leaving Vrindavan, he entered into the hearts of the residents of Vrindavan to be with them always, but because Krishna couldn't bear the separation from the residents of Vrindavan any more than they could bear his separation. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatan Goswami writes that regularly Krishna returns. And because of the intense love of the residents of Vrindavan, when they see Krishna, they forget that he even left. And then again, Akura comes and takes Krishna away. And they forget that Krishna already did this so many times. But it's the mood of separation that Krishna is engaging his devotees in, that mood of intense love and separation. So Krishna said to Nanda Maharaj, please go back. That there's about an 8 or 9 page commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on that one verse, Krishna sending Nanda Maharaj back, describing what Krishna was doing. He was providing for the residents of Vrindavan an intensification of their love through separation, but at the same time was intensification of his love for them in separation. Very deep subject matter. Someday you'll want to read that 8-9 page commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So then Krishna made a proposal to his mother and father. I think I should get an education. Wouldn't it be nice, parents, if your 10-year-old child says, I think I should get a better, work on getting my education together. That's what Krishna said. But they were very happy. And they selected their teacher. The best teacher in the land was Sandipani Muni. So Krishna went to, he left home, he had his head shaved like we do, and little Sika in the back. Although he's the personality of Godhead, remember the subject matter that you've been studying or hearing about for the past so many months, so many weeks, so many Sunday programs, is Sharanagati, surrender. Krishna surrendered to Sandipani Muni to show by example. Even you may be God, and we're not. But you may be some great personality, we're not. But you may be whoever you may be. You take instruction and surrender to a qualified spiritual master. So Sandipani Muni taught Balaram and Krishna everything. All the knowledge of all the Vedas. He gives details, the Upanishads, and the Manu Samhita, the laws of mankind, Dharma Shastras, and he also taught them, so all the scriptural knowledge, and the 64 arts. So there's a list of them. I'm going to read a few of them, but I'm not going to read all 64, but just to give you an idea. And Krishna was so expert, because he already knew everything, that he learned the 64 arts in 64 days. And he graduated and went back home. Some of you have been studying for how many years? How many of you two have been studying? Not 64 days. So many years. How many? How many years?
After school, 14 years.
After school, 14 years. And what about before that? Anyway, add up the number of years that we've spent in school, all of us together, and phew, it's a big load. 64 days. Just become Krishna and you get to it really quickly. Here's a list, a partial list of the arts that Krishna learned from Sandipani Muni. Singing. playing on musical instruments, dancing, drama, painting the face and body with colored unguents and cosmetics, preparing auspicious designs on the floor with rice and flowers, making a bed of flowers, coloring one's teeth, clothes, and limbs. I don't think you got it from a cosmetic store. Inlaying a floor with jewels, covering a bed, ringing water pots, splashing with water, mixing colors, preparing wreaths, setting a helmet on the head, putting on apparel in a dressing room, decorating the earlobe, applying aromatics, decorating with jewelry, jugglery, the art of disguise, sleight of hand, preparing varieties of salad, bread, cake, and other delicious food. You have a cooking class for this one. Preparing palatable drinks and tinged draughts with red color, needlework and weaving, making puppets dance by manipulating thin threads, playing on a lute and a small X-shaped drum, making and solving riddles, capping verses, or reciting poems verse for verse as a trial of memory or skill, uttering statements difficult for others to answer. Krishna was very expert at that. Reciting books, enacting short plays, and writing anecdotes. That's half of the 64. So he learned everything in 64 days. And then Sandipani Muni was, wow, you're really the best students I've ever had. You're not ordinary students at all. So it was time for Guru Dakshin. So Sandipani Muni didn't waste his time. He said, let me consult my wife. And together they came up with the following idea. Krishna, we had one son who very near to here in Dwarka was playing by the side of the ocean in Prabhas Kshetra, and he disappeared. We believe that he has died. Can you find him and bring him back? So Krishna and Balaram immediately agreed, yes, we'll bring him back. So a chariot was arranged for Krishna and Balaram to go to Prabhas Kshetra, and Krishna stood at the shore of the ocean and called for the ocean personified to come. Something reminiscent of Ram asking for Samudra, the presiding deity of the ocean, to come. In this case, he came immediately. That would happen in Ram's Leela. He came immediately. And Krishna said, I understand that your waves have engulfed this young boy, the son of Sandipani Muni. Bring him here immediately. And the ocean personified said, it wasn't me, it was a demon named Panchajanya. He is a descendant of the Daityas, descendant of Diti's dynasty. And he lives in the ocean, and he disguises himself as a huge conch shell, and he devoured the boy. And he lives within the ocean. So Krishna thanked Samudra, and then he plunged into the ocean, and he found Panchajanya, and very much like he did with Kamsa, just one KO and he was finished. And he then reached inside the conch shell to find where the son of Sandipani Muni was, and there he wasn't there. So he then kept the Panchajanya shell. And those of you that have read Bhagavad Gita, you've heard that name before, because when Krishna blew on his conch shell, it struck fear into the hearts of the other army. But wait till you hear what happens when he goes to the court of Yamaraj. So who is Yamaraj? He's the Lord of Death. And no one escapes the Lord of Death. So Krishna went to his abode. And waiting outside his abode, Krishna blew his conch shell. And what's said in various... this event is not only described in the Bhagavad Purana, but many other literatures. In the lower planetary systems, those who are being subjected to sinful reactions, they were all liberated. And the persons who are meeting out those sinful reactions, they stop their activity because there's no one left to minister to. The sound of Krishna's conch shell was so absolutely purifying. Yamaraj came at once, and seeing Krishna, he was so happy. I have this horrible task of taking care of all the sinful people, and you've come to see me. I feel so benefited. What is it that I can do? Some service for you. Yes, the son of Sandipani Muni. He must be here somewhere. Please bring him here at once. And the son of Sandipani Muni was brought by Yamaraj after Yamaraj worshipped Krishna in a formal way. And Krishna and Balaram came back to the school of Sandipani Muni and presented his son. I mean, how is that? Some religions are based on miracle cures. Here's one bringing somebody back from the dead. Who can do that but Krishna? Balaram also offered to do that once when with one little blade of grass, he placed the blade of grass in the chest of the Roma Harshan Sutta. There's a long story, but he was not qualified to speak because he was proud. So when he exhibited his pride, Balaram placed the blade of grass on his chest and pierced his chest and went into his heart, and immediately he died. Everyone was aghast. Ah. Roma Harshan Sutta was narrating the Puranas, and what are we going to do now? Balaram said, if you like, I can bring him back to life. No problem. And they said, no, you're the personality of Godhead. We can't interfere with your will. But what are we to do? So Balaram's solution was, the son of the father is the representative of the father. Have his son speak. He's Sutta, the son of Roma Harshan, is very qualified. Have him speak. So that's what happened. Sutta Goswami continued the narration. So Krishna is capable. So someone may say, like take biblical stories, Old Testament or New Testament stories, healing or the parting of the Red Sea or different things that are found, miracles. The miracles are possible when there's potency beyond our conception of potency. And Krishna has the capacity. He has the capacity to generate anything. I'm looking at the clock and I'm going past my time. There's a nice little conventional story where Prabhupada tells the story. Narada Muni one time was going to see Lord Narayan. And as he was going to see Lord Narayan, he was walking along a path and he saw a cobbler, a man who fixes shoes. And the cobbler said, oh, Narada Muni, where are you going? How nice to see you. I'm going to see Lord Narayan. Oh, can you ask him a question? Can you ask him, how many lifetimes will it be before I can again be with Lord Narayan? Yes, I'll ask him. Listen carefully, it's a nice story. And he continues on, and there's a Brahmin, very qualified priestly person. Oh, Narada Muni, best of the Brahmanas. Nice to see you. Where are you going? Going to see Lord Narayan. Can you ask him a question for me? Yes, what is that? Same question. How many lifetimes before I will again be with my Lord? Yes, I'll ask. So Narada Muni saw Lord Narayan, offered his worship and his prayers and his praises. And in the course of the exchange, he said, I have two questions, the Brahmin and the cobbler. They want to know, how many lifetimes will it be before they come to the spiritual world? And Lord Narayan said, tell the cobbler that he will come to me at the end of this very lifetime, and tell the Brahmin it will be many lifetimes before he'll come to me. And when they expressed their doubt, did you really go to see Lord Narayan? What was he doing? You tell them that he was taking an elephant and putting the elephant through the little opening at the end of a needle, the eye of a needle. Tell them. So he went back and saw the Brahmin first and said, oh, my dear Brahmin, I saw Lord Narayan. Oh, and what did he say? It'll be many lifetimes before you'll go back to him. Oh. Are you sure you went to see Lord Narayan? What was he doing when you saw him? He was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. No. You didn't go to Lord Narayan. You're pulling my leg. And then he saw the cobbler. And, oh, Narada Muni, did you get to see Lord Narayan? Yes. Did you ask the question that I requested of you? Yes. What did he say? At the end of this lifetime, you're going back to Godhead. Oh, how wonderful. And what was my Lord Narayan doing? He was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. He said, oh, my Lord, he is so wonderful. And Narada said, I'm astonished that you just like that, you accept he was putting an elephant through an eye of a needle. And the cobbler said, within the banyan tree is a seed, a fruit, and within the fruit there's so many seeds, and within each seed there's a whole banyan tree that produces so many fruits. So if the Lord can put so many banyan trees inside a little fruit, with so many seeds and so many banyan trees, he can certainly put an elephant through an eye of a needle. My Lord is so wonderful. And that is why you're going back to Godhead at the end of this life, because your faith that God can do anything, he's all powerful, but he wants to see our love for him. And love is not blind, it's with reason. We're not supposed to close our eyes and just pretend or hope, cross our fingers and maybe it's going to be nice. I hope so, because I don't like this place. But it's with, on the authority of Scripture, and it's the practical guidance of qualified persons. Gurus, sadhu, and shastra are there as our points of reference. So this nice description of Krishna bringing back the son of Sandipani Muni, Uddhava is describing it, Shukadeva Goswami is describing it, our great acharyas, they're commenting on it. Krishna has that capacity. He's just reciprocating in a loving way with Sandipani Muni. So he then asks Sandipani Muni, is there something else that you would like for Guru Dakshin? And Sandipani Muni just smiled and said, just having you and Balaram as disciples, that's more than one could ever hope for. That is sufficient. You can go back home now. You've learned everything that I have to teach. So they return back to be with Vasudeva and Devaki. That's the personality of Godhead, Krishna, showing by example to surrender to a qualified person. And through the surrender to a qualified person, one gets the opportunity to do devotional service to Krishna. So, in his case, Krishna was speaking of Lord Narayan, because that was the worshipable deity of his father, Nanda Maharaj. Narayana was his worshipable deity. But Narayana and Krishna are not different. So he's teaching us by his wonderful example. Hare Krishna. I've gone past my time, so I'll let you go and take prasadam and finish the rest of the program. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.